You're listening to the Utah Man Podcast, bringing you the latest news and analysis for your Utah Utes. Now, your hosts, Cameron, Ryan, and Scott.
Welcome on into the Utah Man Podcast. On this episode, the Utes drown the Florida Gators, and we look ahead as Utah travels down to Baylor. I'm Cameron, and we got Ryan.
Hey, Ute Nation.
And Scott.
What's up, boys?
1-0. 1-0 without Cam Rising.
Hey, who saw that start coming, huh?
Wow.
Who saw the first play of the game coming? Ludwig dialing up the deep post.
Wow, that was something. That was pretty memorable. How Utah goes 3-and-out on defense, and then ultimately comes right out of the gate. That place was absolutely electric.
Did you see the tweet by the University of Utah seismology department?
Yeah. So
when that happened, it was like equivalent to a 2-point-something earthquake.
Yeah, it was pretty nuts, man. That was fun. And I'll tell you, kudos to Barnes. You know, we didn't this fan base didn't have a whole lot of hope in that guy, but and he didn't play amazingly. I mean, his numbers are not all that impressive, but he did take care of the football and did enough. Obviously, with as good of a defense, which we've talked about at length this offseason, that's kind of what you need to do. But yeah, kudos to Barnes, and the dude's now on scholarship. It's official.
He doesn't have to work at Lowe's anymore. Good for him, though. I mean, he's played in some big game. I mean, obviously he played in 2 Rose Bowls and wasn't planning on that, and then played a spur of the moment last second game at Washington State and got us a win last year, and now this. So
it's crazy that he's playing in front of more people than live in his hometown.
I'll bet you there's more pigs than there were in Rice Eccles, though.
Did you see that stat they put up on the game that he raised 12,000 pigs?
12,000 himself?
Well, the farm he grew up on had 12,000 pigs, is what the ESPN broadcast put out.
They need to get him a theme song. Cam Rising's got Bad Moon Rising. We got to get one.
And an oink oink here and an oink oink there. Here an oink, there an oink.
Okay, no, I really want to get into this. I'm taking nothing away from Barnes. He's a gutty kid, a gutty player. I want Nate Johnson in there. I want Johnson over Barnes.
So this is how we're starting the podcast.
This is how
we're
starting.
Yeah, I don't know that I completely agree based on what I saw. I mean, he had some, you know, Johnson had some pretty sweet moments, but man, he had some potential disasters too.
But so did Barnes.
Where did Barnes have a potential?
Barnes didn't fumble the ball inside the 10-yard line and almost give them a walk-in touchdown.
Everyone makes mistakes, Ryan. No, this was Barnes. Okay, I will give you Barnes is accurate. That's one thing that I will give Barnes. He can throw the ball. He just doesn't have any mustard or zip on that thing. It hangs in the air forever. And it allowed the defense. Guys were open, and they would throw, and by the time they caught it, the defense was right there to stop them. They didn't really get a lot of those yak yards.
No, there's no question. I mean, Bryson Barnes, there's a reason he's a backup, Cam. I mean, he's not going to be a Pac-12 starter. Quite frankly, there's a reason he was number 3 on the depth chart. Brandon Rose had overtaken him. So, I mean, he is what he is.
You could argue he was number 4.
I mean, ultimately he wasn't because yeah. he got the start over Nate. But you're right. I mean, going into fall camp, I mean, he probably was in the 3 or 4 spot the whole time, right? Until the very end. But I cannot get on board with Nate quite yet. Watching that game, he's not ready. Yes, does he have elite speed? Can he do a lot of things in the run game? Yes. But unless we're going to turn into Arizona under Rich Rod, it's not going to matter. He comes in, he provides a change of pace, but as each game goes on, defenses are going to, they're going to know exactly what he's going to do. And they're going to stack the box. And unless he can make them pay in the passing game, it's really not going to matter.
But they They didn't let him go.
I think that was by design, though, too.
So he was 3 for 4 for 6 yards. I mean, not that impressive. And he just doesn't look. Kyle Whittingham said he's turning the ball over in practice. Okay. So if you take Kyle Whittingham's comments, what we've seen of Nate Johnson so far, he's a project. The reason he was so highly recruited is his running ability. It wasn't necessarily his passing ability, but that's going to obviously take time. And when Bryson Barnes, who does not, as you mentioned, Cam, have a real strong arm, if he's clearly beating him out, that speaks pretty strongly in regards to where this staff sees Nate Johnson. Yes, can he come in? Can he help? Can he do some specialized things? Absolutely. And will we continue to rely on him? Yes, but I just don't see that he's ready. And I'm all, if anything, I'm fully on the Brandon Rose bandwagon for next year.
Or, you know, Wilson will be in the running next year for that. But anyway, going back to Barnes versus Johnson, though, in all honesty, I was surprised how many plays Johnson was in there for. I don't know.
I'd agree with that. I mean, at one point it felt like they were doing just alternating series.
They were alternating within a series for a period of time.
It was strange. I guess that definitely took me off guard. But I guess obviously Ludwig felt, hey, we need to, as much as possible, give Florida different looks. And I mean, at the end of the day, we won pretty handily, so it worked. But I don't know. I don't know that we're going to see that game plan moving forward if Cam is not ready.
Yeah, if you go into this game with the same situation where Cam's not available, I think you got to stick with Barnes even more unless you fall behind and you got to do something really different. But
I don't like it. I do not like it.
Cam.
No, you know what? Understand. And I'm not trying to dog on him because he's 100 times better of a quarterback than I'll ever wish to be. However, that touchdown pass barely made it. Just barely made it. And he had everything into it.
Well, it was one more touchdown pass than your boy Nate Johnson.
Because he never got an opportunity. That's the thing, is they're not
because he didn't earn the reps in practice. You better earn your time on during practice camp.
They are not opening up the playbook for Johnson.
There's probably a reason for that.
Look, I am not Team Barnes. I already said I'm Team Rose. But
well, I'm Team Rising.
Oh gosh.
I think that's a given. But ultimately here, it looked pretty clear to me Nate Johnson is not ready. We all wish he was. I mean, if he could be a dynamic passer with what he could do with his legs, watch out. I honestly, you look at all the quarterbacks that Arizona had under Rich Rod, and none of them got them to the promised land. None of them, they'd have good weeks, but they weren't consistent. And I hope I'm wrong. I really do. But when I look at Nate Johnson, that's what I see, is I see a guy who's probably could be a pretty good passer, but he's on the field because what he can do with his feet. And when you rely on a guy like that, and if you're going to run him that much, that scares me, because you're just not going to have him week in and week out due to injury. So, again, love to
be right. It happened at Arizona with that. I forget his name. That guy that entered the season was in the Heisman talk and got hurt early in the season. And you can look at the same thing with Taysom Hill. I mean, superb athlete, but wasn't accurate with the ball and was injured all the time because he was a running quarterback.
So, in other words, what you're saying is Cam's really team Taysom.
Oh, I hate you guys.
It is what it is. It's good to have some guys available. But I don't know. I think Rising's back this week, boys. I know I said that last week, so I'm 0-1. But I'm staying with it. I'm gonna try and even the score this week.
I don't see it.
You don't?
Why? What? Whittingham said in the post-game conference that he's been cleared by the doctors for full practice participation.
And today he mentioned that there's no restrictions. They're seeing how he goes and seeing how he recovers for day after day of practice. So, yeah, it's still up in the air. And if they feel comfortable after watching tape and scouting Baylor, if the two-headed monster with Barnes and Johnson can go down and get this victory, then you're right. We probably won't see Cam Rising, but I don't know. I think Witt wants to get him back on the field as soon as he can, because I don't think you want to go down, and you don't want to become a Texas State, right? Or I mean, excuse me, you don't want to have what happened to Baylor because of Texas State happen to Utah, right? Go in as the heavy favorite. And don't have all your weapons at your disposal. I think if he's healthy, you play him.
Yeah, I mean, there's no sense in holding him out if he's cleared to play. Because at this point, you're 1-0. If you go 1-1 losing to Baylor after they just got manhandled by Texas State, it's not a good look.
And the Baylor starting quarterback's also out for the game. But we'll get into Baylor. Going back to Florida, you know, one area I think I was kind of disappointed in is Utah's rushing attack. They finished as a group with 105 yards, and really it was just between Johnson and Bernard. I know Jackson is kind of banged up. It kind of showed, but I honestly thought Utah was going to be able to. I thought that was going to be their strength against Florida. I was really running that ball.
I think Florida thought the same thing, because they put 8 and 9 guys in the box the entire game to stop that run.
Right, and they were run blitzing. I mean, the game plan was very clear for Florida. All right, you've got a third and a fourth string quarterback in here. We know you're not going to kill us in the passing game, which Utah really didn't. So we're just going to take the run away from you. And they did a good job. They were stout enough up front. And with that attention, that many guys along the front of the line of scrimmage, there just wasn't much there. So I think maybe that's why we saw Johnson maybe a little more than they anticipated, is ultimately, let's see, okay, we're not getting anything going in the running game with our backs. Let's see if Johnson can come in, spread these guys out, and start hitting some holes a little bit. My biggest takeaway is JJ's your starting running back. I know he got a little dinged up, but prior to him going out with injury, they hardly went to him. 5 carries. That was the most shocking thing to me. You know, in the first series, we're giving Mekhi Bernard, we're giving Jalen Glover carries instead of giving it to your top guy. Didn't love that approach.
I think you're right. I mean, I think it was interesting to see that they played so many guys, and it wasn't just a running back. I think you saw that across the board at several positions, even on the defensive side of the ball. You saw, I mean, how many defensive backs did they play? And that shows your depth, but I was really surprised that so many guys saw action.
Here's a theory. In today's portal world, you got to give guys reps if you want to keep them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about that, right? You got to keep recruiting them even when they're on campus. I think for me with Jackson. Now, I know, as you said, Scott, he got banged up in the game, but I know he wasn't 100% healthy going in, and it kind of showed, which, I don't know, makes me kind of nervous for Baylor, because I don't know if you can expect kind of those home run ball that Barnes connected with.
It's singular, home run ball, not balls.
I said home run ball.
No, I know. I was just following up because Baylor again. I'm not a scout. I'm not breaking down Baylor, especially their O line and D lines. But from what I saw, my vantage point, they were not all that impressive, on either side of the ball. So I think, again, Kyle Whittingham always preaches the most improvement takes place between week one and week two. Now, obviously that's true for both teams here, but I think you're going to see a better effort in the run game. I think you're going to continue to see, they're going to pound the rock, especially if Rising's not ready, you have to rely on this run game and you have to get it going. So I think Ludwig is going to do a lot. Because you cannot ask Bryson Barnes to go out and carry you to a victory on the road against a Big 12, a decent, good Big 12 opponent. He needs to be supplemented through a strong running game. So I think that's going to be the focus in practice. I think you're going to see a big effort from Utah to run the ball and be a lot more effective doing it.
Well, I agree, but until proven otherwise, every defense we see until Rising comes back is going to mimic what Florida did and put 8 and 9 guys in the box. You can only run effectively so well with that. So you've got to be able to spread the ball around through the air to soften up that defense.
I mean, you got to spread that defense out is what you're saying, Ryan. And maybe you, if it isn't there in the passing game, you might be able to stretch it in the rushing game like they tried. I don't know. It just makes me nervous.
Guys, but here's the thing. Yes, Bryson Barnes was not amazing in this game, but he knew where he was going every snap. He didn't put the ball. I think I can only count one pass that was put in harm's way. And it was that deep ball to Simmons into double coverage. He got that little push in the back. It should have been a PI. But outside of that throw, he really didn't put the ball in harm's way. And one game under your belt, beating a Florida, he's got to be flying high from a confidence standpoint. So if Baylor does come out and say, all right, we're going to put 8, 9 guys in the box, you're going to have to beat us and go over the top. Maybe we see Bryson kind of take a step forward and with some confidence and starts making teams pay. Obviously, we're going to have to wait and see, but I'm more encouraged from Bryson today than obviously from where we were in the offseason. I was not looking forward to him starting. And again, it wasn't spectacular, but he did what he was supposed to do.
He did.
Kudos to him.
Yeah, for sure. And I think if you're going to have to go that route again, you've got receivers that can create space and catch the ball. I mean, Vele is fast and he's tall. Yasmin is fast and big and can catch the ball. We saw that Mikey Matthews, although not big, can catch the ball and is quick. I mean,
leading receiver in his first game as a true freshman.
Yeah. So, find ways to utilize these guys to soften up that defense.
And I, you guys proved me wrong. Miki had a great catch.
Boom, baby.
I remember I said, I don't get it. I love him on defense. And I was proven wrong. He had a phenomenal game.
We didn't even see your boy Bentley out there.
I know.
Nor my guy Cope.
No, actually, we did see him on special teams.
Oh.
But hey, but thanks for giving me Mikey Matthews with the third pick. I do appreciate that.
So I know, you know,
I mean, and Pittman, other than that wide open drop that he probably could have scored a touchdown on. I mean, there's weapons on offense outside of that running game. So spread it, find ways to get the ball in those guys' hands.
Do you guys think that the play calling in the second half maybe kind of pulled back a little bit
once they kind of got a lead? Absolutely.
And I think maybe that's where there's kind of that weird vibe after the game, because really Utah should have won by more. If we're being honest,
they totally should have.
If the game's over in the second quarter, if Bele hits that ball to Bernard up the sideline, was wide open. All he needed to do is just throw it with a little bit more air underneath it. And I mean, Bernard, that right there would have been an absolute killer.
And what a sweet play call and design, though.
Yeah. I don't recall. Have we seen Vele throw before?
I don't know that I have.
I don't think so.
But it was actually a well thrown ball outside of just a little too much.
Yeah. Well, he was probably he was juiced. I'm sure as soon as he heard that play come in, but
he did have one attempt and one completion last year for 9 yards.
Oh, he did. Okay. I didn't recall that off the top of my head, but I mean, the thing that's crazy, I mean, social media during and after that game for locally, nationally, it was Utah just bullied Florida, right? Utah had more speed on the field than Florida. The game wasn't close. Utah handled Florida.
Utah owned the trenches.
If you go through the stats, I look at those stats and I go, how did we own those guys? Because they had time of possession. They had more passing yards. Obviously, they didn't do anything in the rushing game. Utah wins that one. They were awful on third down, 1 of 13, but we weren't much better. 3 of 13. But it really just came down to, I think, the mistakes that Florida had, the amount of penalties and penalty yardage that they had definitely played a factor. But it's really interesting to go through those stats, because you watch that game and it was clear Utah had complete control from start to finish. But the stats don't really necessarily back that up. So it's kind of interesting just to kind of go through those.
I mean, back to your point, Cam, I do think that it was by design that the second half was more conservative. I think they were probably trying to utilize the new rules of let the clock run. So, don't give Florida as many snaps as opportunities with the ball. So, and it worked. I mean, I think I sat there at the end of the game and I was exhausted. I was not in game shape. I mean, it wasn't close, but when they scored, when Florida scored that touchdown and went for two to cut it to, or they got to 11 points, And then they had the ball again. And I thought, if they score here, all they have to do is an onside kick and another score, and they win. And so I had this pit in my stomach. Like, if we give this away after dominating the entire game, like, it was an awful feeling.
There was a lot of, I think, nervous energy late in the stadium. Because to your point, the second half was kind of a boring second half. We didn't do much offensively. Defensively, we were pretty good. But I mean, that game changes with just a few different things going Florida's way. That game is neck and neck, right? We punt the ball to them. They decide to have two number threes out on the field, which is a penalty, gives us first down. We go down and score. We take that score off the board. Who knows what they go do with it? You know, it's much different. Not to mention the amount of times Utah got them off the field on fourth down and in scoring range. If they pick up a first down on one of those plays, things could have drastically changed. So,
or if Johnson doesn't recover his own fumble.
Yeah.
Inside,
yeah.
I mean, there's you got to bring that up, Ryan.
Utah's way.
So, yeah, there are a lot of ill-timed mistakes by Florida that Utah benefited from, for sure.
Well, I think even that first offensive play I saw on Twitter, someone broke down that whole play. And they had a corner fall down, which caused the safety to step up, which is how Money Parks was wide open. So if that corner doesn't fall down, you know, maybe that play doesn't happen.
Right. I mean, things went your way, and guess what? That's football. It's going to happen. But there's going to be games where they don't go your way. And that's where scoring 24 points in a game is just not going to be sufficient. Right, you can't go down to Baylor and hope, hey, we're going to win this game scoring another 24 points. You've got to be able to put points up on the board. I mean, you look at what happened in the Pac-12 this week. Now, granted, I know the opponents across the board were not awesome, but you saw how many points Colorado put up, how many points Oregon and Washington, Oregon State, and USC, right? Yes, does Utah have the best defense in the conference? Yes. And I think when it's all said and done, that's going to bear out. But
you got to score.
You still got to be able to score points. So it's paramount that until Rising comes back, we got to figure out a way to put more points up on the board. And once Rising comes back, obviously, I think things will kind of settle down, and we'll be a lot more efficient and proficient in offensively. But
not only Rising, though. When you think, we're sitting here talking about the, you know, mistakes that Florida made, and it could have led to a much closer game or a different outcome. But then when you look at it, take a step back and see that Utah did all of that minus 8 key starters.
Oh, yeah.
Rising obviously is key, but there's other guys that are huge factors on both sides of the ball that didn't play or didn't play much. So you get those guys back, and you can put points on the board, and you can play better defense too.
Well, and you bring that up, and I mean, there were a lot of freshmen for Utah across the board that were making plays. And I know that's one thing that they talked about on ESPN was how Utah over the last couple of years, their ones have been, you know, right up there with the top of the conference and, you know, the top of the country, and now we're starting to see their twos and threes are getting up there with the top of the countries, which makes it as exciting as a Utah fan.
Well, look at—I mean, you're missing guys like Pepe and Tafuna in the middle of the defensive line, but who stepped up? Tonavasa had a huge sack.
Fotu
steps up when Reed goes down. Obviously Fillinger, we know what he's capable of doing, and we've seen bursts from Jonah Ellis, but you're missing O'Toole. You're starting and probably best defensive end. And you still ended up with 5 sacks in the game against an SEC O-line.
Yeah, that defense is special.
It's going to be good, boys. It's going to be really good.
And it and honestly, Cole Bishop, holy cow. That dude can just make plays anywhere on the field.
Watching him while you can, because this is it.
This will be his last go around. He'll be an All American.
I should have called him my breakout player of the year.
Yeah, when he went down grabbing his leg, I got, oh boy, this, thank goodness it was just a cramp.
You look at our linebackers across the board. Karini Reed goes out, and so you got to replace him with a new guy now. I know Dumani comes from Stanford, has a ton of experience, but first year in the program running this defense, you know, so you're relying on him, and then you're relying on Fotu, who's straight off a mission coming in. So the linebacker core really quickly became very inexperienced. So for overall, for that defense to do what they do, they're just going to continue to get better each week. I mean, Teo Johnson, he's going to continue to get better. And quite frankly, was pretty darn good for his first real action defense.
From our vantage point in the stadium on that first series, when he tackled Pearsall for that on that end around or fly sweep, I mean, it was a huge play, but until I got home and actually watched it on TV, you didn't see the ground that he made up to make that play to stop him before the first down. That was incredible.
Well, and it was so good because he didn't hesitate at all, and he had a huge burst.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, film study. He knew what was going to happen. He knew what they were doing. Didn't hesitate. Makes a play. I mean, really, they only needed 2 yards pickup to get that first down on that play, and he blows it up right after the catch.
Yeah, and the next play was the false start, which backed him up, and then they punted.
Yeah. No, I mean, the defense is going to continue to get better and better, and offensively, they're going to do that as well. But I don't know. Sure hope Cam is about ready to go here.
Ryan, you brought up the false starts. Hey, Ute Nation, that was a great atmosphere for a Thursday night game. It was packed at kickoff.
I was nervous because 20 minutes out, it was still pretty empty, but everyone rolled in right at kickoff, and I mean, really credit to the Must too. A lot of those false starts happened right in front of them.
Yeah, the Must was awesome. I didn't make it to the arrival. Did either of you guys go to the arrival?
Ryan, did you get your free T-shirt?
I did not. I was early, but not that early.
Well, we'll have to have somebody report back next time. Cam, you're in charge of going next time for the podcast.
All right, I think that will do it for our thoughts on the Utah-Florida game. Again, just a great atmosphere, great game, great way to start the season. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll hit up Utah and Baylor.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Detail's traveling down to Baylor to face the Bears. And Baylor's coming off a rough start. They lose to Texas State, the fierce Bobcats, 42-31. Ouch. They were a 26.5 point favorite. They lose their starting quarterback, Shapen, for several weeks. I guess the good thing about Utah, you know, kind of having not the perfect game against Florida, is they can't, it's not going to allow them to overlook Baylor. And I know Whittingham wouldn't let a team do that. But if there is one takeaway out of week one, is you're not going to overlook Baylor, who just lost to a school that no one's ever heard of.
No, I think Kyle's going to have these guys ready to play. I mean, Baylor, you're going to get a good shot from Baylor, because they're not going to want to start the season 0-2. Plus, there's implications. This is going to be, you know, next year, this is a conference game. And, you know, they're going to want to send a message. They obviously are desperate to get a victory. So you're going to get their best shot. But here's, and I know Ute fans are saying this on Twitter, oh my gosh, this is a trap game. Well, I don't really, it's not a trap game. We got Weber State next week. We're not looking ahead. We're not looking past Baylor, but I do think you're going to get their best shot. But I'm not sure their best shot is anything special. They did not look good.
No, it's hard to obviously the expectation. They weren't ranked preseason, but recently they've been a good football program, and I don't think anybody saw that coming. So it's kind of, you know, after they come out in game one and lose like that, there's almost part of you that thinks, wow, I mean, they're going to come out mad. And you've got to be ready for that. But at the same time, maybe they're not that good of a football team. You still have to be ready to play, though.
I think we're going to be able to take advantage of them in the run game and getting after the quarterback. I think our both lines are superior. They did not look great there. Sawyer Robertson is now your starter. Originally comes from Mississippi State, recruited by Mike Leach. He's got some pretty good speed, but yeah, I mean, this could be a battle of backups, and it'll be interesting to kind of see their game plan moving forward. But I mean, from a rushing perspective, they weren't anything special themselves. They ran for 108 yards, 108 yards, a number of guys. So I don't know. I'm not overly as concerned about them as I was preseason. They did not look like a good football team, and their own fan base is ready to run their coach out. I mean, there's a lot of frustration, I think, down there. Blake Shapen, how he continues to be their starting quarterback boggles my mind.
Yeah,
dude has not been that good.
No, he didn't look good last year when they were up here playing BYU and took BYU to overtime.
They couldn't even run passing plays late in the game because of him.
But you don't want the backup quarterback to have a breakout game against you either, and then
yeah, kind of give them that spark to kind of get their team going. So I know they have lost five.
You don't want him to go full on Matt Fink on us?
They've lost five consecutive games, you know, going back to last year. So this is definitely a wounded team.
Well, let's keep wounding them.
Guys, they got smoked by Texas State, and yet their offense still put up over 500 yards of offense. How bad is that defense?
You put up over 500 yards of offense, and you only score 32 points.
I mean, most of those came through the passing game, 416 to 108 on the ground. So yes, most of that did come through the air, but obviously they're moving the ball down the field. They just weren't very successful at the goal line in getting the ball in the end zone. Kind of reminding me of the days of A-Rod running our offense. But they definitely have talent. They can definitely move the ball, but it's going to be, that's what we saw Utah Florida last week, right? They were able to move the ball, but they couldn't get into the end zone. And that's where our defense is going to have to continue to play at a high level. Bend, don't break. Just don't give up touchdowns. You know, give up some field goals here and there, but don't let them into the end zone, especially with a young quarterback who's inexperienced. He's the backup for a reason. Don't let him get going early to give him any sort of confidence.
And I think the other flip side to this, too, is Utah, with their youth and kind of inexperience, were playing at home in a very friendly crowd, whereas now they're going on the road. And I think that's going to be another factor that where Utah can't make kind of those same mistakes they did against Florida.
No, Utah's, we're going to have to play a clean game. This is not going to be just a walk in the park. But I think if we come out, take care of the ball, continue to play good defense, get the running game going, keep special teams going. We didn't even talk about special teams, by the way. We need a segment dedicated to Coach Shaw on the special teams.
Hey, they had the punter of the week.
Yeah. Boomeister? How do you pronounce his name?
You don't even want me to try.
Well, that's true.
I think it's Boomeister, I think.
But I'm changing subjects here, but did it not feel good to have a good special teams?
Hey, they had a 51-yarder field goal, right?
He averaged 51 yards for all his kicks. And then
on TV, it looked like the 55 had enough leg. It was just a little to the left.
Yeah, just pulled it a hair, but it's encouraging. The Whittingham has confidence in that type of game to let him go kick a 55-yarder.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised at that point of the game because you miss it, you give them the ball essentially at midfield. So he had to have some confidence that he could nail that, and he didn't miss by much. So it is nice to...
Kyle did say post-game that he said it was too short to punt, too long to go for it. So that was that's why he decided to kick the field goal. But special teams, kudos to Coach Shaw. We were brutal on Coach Shaw the last couple of years, so it feels good to have him have his special teams playing at a high level again.
My only criticism is Pittman doesn't look like he's got a fast first step on the punt return.
No, didn't really, don't know how I feel about Sione Vaca doing kickoffs either, but we'll see. It's a work in progress.
All right, before we get into our scores and picks for the Utah-Baylor game, we got to talk Pac-12. The last year... And it starts off in historic fashion.
13-0, baby.
The best week for the conference ever. And honestly, one of the best weekends for any conference.
Absolutely.
The soon-to-be defunct conference has the best outcome after week one.
But if you look at it, I'm not that surprised just because... There was a big influx of talent in the transfer portal this year, and a lot of guys that were in the conference last year came back. It sucks that this is the last year because this conference is so good, and it's been fun playing these teams, and I don't want to give that up.
It is lame that it's coming to an end.
Of all years, it's just ironic that this is how we're going to go out. We've been the laughing stock because of how our conference has been run, and now we're going to freaking just roll over everybody and have a historic year and call it good. Well done, Pac-12.
Isn't it six teams in the top 25 this week?
Half the conference is ranked right now.
And how about Colorado? Who saw that one?
Man. That game was wild.
I mean, TCU's defense was pathetic, but who saw Colorado putting up 42 or 45 on the road?
They were head and shoulders better than I think anybody thought they were going to be. But I'm still not convinced that it's going to be sustained or sustained really very long at all. From a lack of depth, they don't have anything. They don't have much on the offensive or defensive lines. You can't ask Hunter to play 100 snaps a game and expect him to stay healthy. I mean,
But that dude's an athlete. Some of the plays
he's amazing. The fact that he could be that impactful on both the defensive and offensive side of the ball was borderline crazy. But defenses are going to start preparing for him. TCU was just not smart. I mean, he was dominating the game, and they left him in one-on-one coverage the entire time with no help.
Well, look who the head coach of TCU is.
I know, Sonny Dykes. But
not only that, they left points on the field by throwing interceptions inside the 20-yard line couple of times, and one of them, I mean, it's a spectacular play by Hunter, but why throw at him? Why throw at his side of the field?
I don't, as much as Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, he kind of, I think a lot of it is about him, right? They had a camera on him like all game. He's in a lot of commercials during the TV timeouts. He's put a good staff together. Because they put their players in good positions to make plays, and they got a lot of speed. A lot faster than what I was expecting, mm-hmm. and a lot faster than any Colorado team we've seen in the Pac-12 era.
Well, I mean, here's what scares me, is him having success with what they did in the portal, 53 transfers. And Texas State was right behind them. I think Texas State had 40-something, and they just upset Baylor. Is this going to be the trend across college football where everybody's rosters are just chaos from year to year? That's the aspect of this that I think really could be problematic for just the product as a whole. Where I'm hoping that they can get some NIL figured out. But as skeptical as we all were, and especially, I mean, I didn't think they were, I thought they'd get embarrassed on Saturday. And they clearly have upgraded talent and are going in the right direction. So it'll be interesting to see. But nonetheless, huge win for the Pac-12 and the Four Corner schools.
All right, let's get into our picks for the Utah-Baylor game. So Utah's traveling down to Baylor to play the Bears. As we're recording this, they're a 7.5-point favorite. Ryan, we'll kick it over to you. Who do you got and what's your score?
And don't forget, it's a 10 a.m. local start. Set your alarm clock so you don't miss kickoff. I've got Utah winning. I've got, even if Bryson Barnes is your quarterback, if Texas State can drop 42, so can Bryson Barnes. And say Utah 42, Baylor 24.
Scott, where are you going?
Well, I'm sticking with the good guys. I think we're going to see a better offensive performance, a little more steady offensive performance, especially in the run game. And I think this is going to be a quick game. I think Utah's going to run the ball. They're going to keep the clock running. So I think it's going to be a little more low scoring than maybe we anticipate, but I'm going to go Utah 34, Baylor 17.
Scott, I'm kind of thinking you're lying too. I think Barnes is the starting quarterback. I don't think we see Cam, and because of that, I think, yeah, Utah's going to run the ball. It's going to be low scoring. I think it's going to be very similar to Florida. I have Utah 27, Baylor 17. Ryan, where can people find you on Twitter?
At Drum and Feather.
That's Drum, the letter N, Feather. Scott,
thank you, Cameron.
Scott, where can people find you?
@UteManForever.
You can get me on Twitter and Instagram at Utah Man Podcast. You can listen to us at our home, UtahManPodcast.com. And anywhere you listen to a podcast, we are there. And hopefully Utah gets a big win over Baylor and starts the season 2-0. And go Utes.
Go Utes. Go Utes will be till I die, Kai.
We're good. Let's cut it.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are their own and are no way affiliated with the University of Utah.